to 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. It's a joy to be here with you. I'll be driving back today, or probably tonight. I've got to be in Detroit tomorrow for another doctor's appointment. I try to get out of it, but I can't. I'm very conscious of who I'm preaching this morning to. Human beings, if you're human, you got problems. Welcome to the fraternity of the free. But what Pastor just told you about being saved is what it's all about. And I enjoyed preaching to you last night, and I don't know whatever burden you have today. I like what an old preacher once said. He said, whatever burden you have, it's your opportunity today to show God that you love him. Amen. That you don't quit. Amen. I'm conscious of the fact today there's probably someone censoring suicide today in this room. I didn't mean to put a chill on the meeting, but it happens. I know some of you are going through some struggles today. Not to be funny, but I was at this folks' house yesterday, and they had to put their dog down, their little boy right over here. I mean, put your cat down, but not your dog. But I know he's hurting today. And I pulled him up here a while ago and said, I had to put my dog down, a couple of them through the years. I said, I'm thinking about you. And the look he gave me, said, thank you, I appreciate that. And I just want to try and encourage you today, and I don't have all the answers myself. If you've been at it, I've been at it a little over 48 years, and I don't plan on quitting. I'm slowing down, but I don't plan on quitting. I want to spread more of the leadership around, and I want to train young men, train young women for God. And before I go, I'm having another women's home, another men's home, 18 and up. And I've helped them. I love them. I see Brother Joel back there. I wish everyone can go see that mission in Columbus, Ohio. I grew up in Detroit. I often tell folks, Detroit's so rough, man. Every high school has stolen cars and drivers there. You know, that's how bad it is. But Job's mission, from his mission, three blocks, I counted 65 hookers, three blocks from the church. That's what's going on in Columbus, Ohio, in the name of drugs. And that family right there, I think, is the Amish coming back again in November, Brother Joe? I think they're going to come back. Last year they brought $20,000 worth of food and toys for that mission to pass out to the people in the projects. I was there with them. And three of those guys came to the ranch program, doing good, got their own businesses now. And I taught them always to give back. Most Christians are just takers. No, it's like this. You take it and get rid of it. You take it and get in, get rid of it. Keep it going like this. The Christian life is this. Get it from God and pass it on to someone else. Amen. But here's the Laodicean Baptist. Hello. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Now, I tend to see you talk fast. I talk fast, drive fast, eat fast, but I sleep slow. Someone asked me today, what time you get up in the morning? I get up at 4 o'clock every morning. I go to the bathroom, go back to bed. Amen. That's in the Bible somewhere. All right. And I'm going to talk to you about a little guy that I love very much in my Christian life, named the Apostle Paul. The word Paul means small one. I was in Greece several years ago with my wife and several other good friends of ours, and I got to Greece, and I wanted to find out about Paul. They call him Poulos. And I said, how tall was the Apostle Paul? I knew Paul meant small, but I didn't know it meant that long, that small. He said they put Paul between 4'10" and 4'11". See, manhood is not measured by your biceps or how many tattoos you got on your body. Manhood is measured by where you do what you're supposed to do and your Christianity. He writes 14 books of the Bible, if you included Hebrews. And I love the Apostle Paul. Now, when he's going to write this chapter, he's just about all by himself. John, only one's left is John Mark. And he went astray, but he got him back. And that's why I don't like Christians putting other Christians down. Hey, the judgment seat of Christ will take care of whatever you got all that.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Down here, you're down here. This is a war zone down here. And, man, I try to help all I can. I see preachers fighting this and whatever. I don't get in any squabbles. I just tell me, y'all got to get out of here. I got to go to Cracker Barrel and get out of here. I don't fight Christians. I'll fight the devil's crowd, but I don't fight Christians. I leave them alone. And try to encourage them and so forth. I know too much. I've helped a lot of pastors. I probably helped about 50 pastors' sons and daughters in the ministry. If you got the juice on them, yeah, but I'd shove a coal in hell before I tell you about them. As I told you last night, you'd be surprised what your pastor knows about you. He don't tell nobody. That's the marks of a great shepherd. Amen. Amen. Are we all right this morning? I'm trying to encourage. I'm not a gloomy preacher, okay? I'm going to heaven, going to glory. I don't have to burn. I don't have to be gloomy. I'm ready to go. I'm enjoying myself. I'm going to get me another Philly cheesesteak before I leave around here. They don't have them where I am. Man, they're plastic. They nuked them suckers and everything. Over here is well done, brother. God bless you. I'm going to get one for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. I'm going to take them home with me. Amen. I got something wrong with my elbow. Every time my elbow bends, my mouth opens. And so I'm working on that. Go over here to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and this is the great apostle Paul. He's fixing to go to heaven, and he's out of here, and he paid a good price, and but he wanted to clear up some things before he left. I like to have people put things in order the right way, and he's not down here to put you down and to correct you, but he's trying to encourage you to finish. That's what I'm talking about this morning. I look at your faces, I look at you, my eyes are getting blurry, but I can look at you, my glasses on. I see hardship on your face. I see trouble on your face. I see the things in your life and trying to encourage you. And by the way, this church right here is not the norm. It's not the norm. I'm in some churches on Sunday morning, it's like a morgue. The only thing that reminds them of the morgue is they're just sitting up, okay? And it's dead at 4 o'clock in the morning. Hey, I'm going to preach myself, enjoy myself. I'll suck on cough drops and preach to them, amen. Get out of there. Get the loot and scoot, amen. And But I try to help them. I try to help them in Jesus' name and trying to work with them and so forth. But the day one I've come in here, I've come dragging in here. I've never one time wanted to quit the ministry, not one time. I never want to be a Pete Ruckman one. I never want to be a Lester Roloff. I never have. I think I'll be a Jack Howell. No, I enjoy Jack Patterson. Yeah. Why don't you enjoy the way God made you? Yeah, see, if you don't like yourself, you're telling God he made a mistake. Yeah. Now, I'll take some things from them men to add to my toolbox. I wish some more preachers put more tools in there. All they have is a ball peen hammer. You'll catch that when you get home, amen? God bless you. But preachers all caught that when they bang, 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 you know, fighting everybody, but not building nothing. Amen. I told one guy, I said, you're trying to correct everybody. You never built a hot dog stand. And God bless you, brother. But I want to finish, and I see young folks in here. And you know what this place right here? This is where missionaries come from. Amen. This is a preacher incubator. Amen. That's why I see this church. You come around here, the Holy Ghost is going to jump on you now. He's going to say, man, I didn't plan on going to the mission field. I didn't plan on going to the ministry. I mean, I wanted to get my house and my go golf. And I was like, God said, I need to send you to Russia about 10 years. I'm sending you to Germany about 15 years. Boy, getting quiet in here. That's why some of you don't want your kids here, because those kids are going to get in young and going to make you look bad. Because you ain't done nothing in 5 years. Hey, have you been talking to Brother Ryman? No, I talk to the Holy Ghost. Amen. I know human nature. I is one. Yeah. Amen. That flesh likes to kick back. And I like to kick back, give me a sandwich, and watch John Wayne. Bless God. You don't like John Wayne, you're not saved. Amen. That's in the Bible somewhere. Amen. God bless you. All right. Let me preach to you. I'm getting hungry already. I just ate a while ago. I'm getting hungry already. All right. Look over here at 2 Timothy. Look over at verse number 15. And we'll go to 2 Timothy 4, and I'll preach to you, and we'll go to the house. This thou knowest, it was evident, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. In your Christian life, if you can't take rejection, you'll never make it. I said, if you can't take rejection from the brethren, from your wife, from your dog, from your cat, you're going to get it in the neck. You're going to get, now I'm not going through gloomy life. I'm going to, if I get rejection, I heard a farmer say one time, he said, you know, Brother Jack, I had a rough time trying to get that tree stump up in my farm until one day I just went around it. Yeah. And sometimes in your Christian life, you can't get rid of it, just go around it.
Yeah, that's right.
Just go around it, but just keep moving, but bobbing and weaving, all right? And you bear in mind, I buried 40 young men in the grave. It doesn't get easier. 37 guys and 3 girls. I buried them. But I put 45 in the ministry. I put 50 in the military. Herp, herp, herp. One guy wrote me a letter. He said, I should have stayed with you. They're crazy in here. They're crazy. They get me up in the morning. I said, God, sorry. Goodbye. I wrote back, God bless you. Finish the job. Amen. One of them was my punky nephew. Amen. And I got him one time, and I told the girls, don't be talking to my nephew. He's got AIDS. And I got him good. I'm just joking. What, he's about 14 years old. Man, what you tell them girls? Man, I 14 years old, you know. He got me back one time at PBI. Doc had him get up there and sing. And he told you what I just told you more. Uncle Jack ran all these girls away from me when I was in junior high. So instead of singing Ship Ahoy, he sang Ships Ahoy. Amen. God bless you. I was eating too many cookies. Amen. I better hurry up, get going. My stomach says thank you. I better get going. Look at verse 16. Verse 15. This thou knowest, all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. I guess that's milk. Verse 16. Watch this guy now. The Lord, you'll catch it. Hey, I'm in a witty mood this morning. Blame it on the meds. Amen. God bless you. I killed five people. Blame it on the meds. Verse 16. The Lord give mercy, watch this, unto the house of Onesiphorus. Now, he didn't say just the guy. But whoever this guy Onesiphorus was, his house got blessed by his action. Hey, Dad, look at me. Won't you be not just be the dad of the house, won't you be the father of the house, the provider and the protector? Quit letting your wife run the show because you ain't got to. Hello.
Amen.
Some of these women got to step up and play because Daddy ain't got it. You're like a zombie. Man, this place, you know, the first time they mention sorcery in the book, in the Bible, first time sorcery is mentioned is in the book of Exodus. The last time sorcery is mentioned is the book of Revelations. We got a doped up nation. They're doping them up and calling it medication. Hello? Hey, and the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. For he tells what he did. For he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain, but when he was in Rome, he's about 2,500 miles from Jerusalem, 1,500 miles from Jerusalem. And when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. It means he went out of his way. It means he got to it. Aren't you glad somebody came by your way and helped you out many years ago? Somebody chased you down and chased you down and chased you down. I used to get him come from the Temple Baptist Church, Dr. Beach and Vic, and we're standing behind the curtain. Not about 7, 8 years old, eating Cheerios, watching the Crick Draw McGraw and Bubba Louie, you know, great Bible characters. And I got in there, and all of a sudden, I wouldn't do nothing. My little sister says, Jackie's behind the curtain. Jackie's behind the curtain. Sold me out, them bus people. But you know what? Temple Baptist Church, every Sunday, every Saturday, they came back and they came back and they came back, and my whole entire family was saved except me through the ministry of Dr. Beach and Vic, a protege of J. Frank Norris. And I went down to run my brother's gas station. I just got out of jail, and my mother talked to the judge how to put me in more jail time, and the judge gave me a break, let me go. And 3 days later, I'm sitting in Pensacola hearing Dr. Ruckman teaching in the Bible class. I showed up with my Detroit Motown clothes on. I said that last night. That's where I dressed. I wasn't no punk. I was just styling. You know, 1,000 miles away. All that stuff, you know. And I get down there, man. And I can't stand rednecks. I still can't stand rednecks. And they got rich rednecks got 4 cars in the front yard on blocks, amen. So, and I get down there, and long story short, man, Doc's making fun of my clothes. Who's that guy, man? Where'd you get them Hamite clothes at? But he said something else, you know. And I get down there. But I liked him. I like what I heard. I like to hear a man talk. I'm right across the plate, not mudslinging or trying to hurt you, but trying to help you. I came back, went back home and went back to Detroit, got put back in jail, thank God, a different judge. And I got out of there, I looked at my little mother and said, Ma, I'm going to Florida. For what? You stay here and get a job. Help me out. I said, Ma, I'm going to Florida. I'll help you out. But I'm going to get my life straightened down. And I wish you can see the tears that flood. I still remember those tears. She said, I'll buy the plane ticket. I said, get it ready. And by the way, I paid her back. I used to send money to her. Where are you getting this money at? I said, never mind, Mom. I'm saved now. But she said, where are you getting the money at? And I said, I'm in the gas station. Well, you're in the gas station up here running the midnight shift. You did a lot of stuff up here, too. I said, no, I'm doing fine. I'm working. I paid my mother back every penny I owed her. Everything. Amen. And I saw her. She saw me grow, and I came back, and she said, where are you going tonight? I said, I'm going to church. You're going where? I said, I'm going to church. On Wednesday. I said, you're coming with me. I ain't got no dress. I'll buy it. Me and my mother had a date. We go to church. She kept looking at me. She was driving. She kept looking at me. She said, are you the same son? Are you Jack? I said, yeah, all 13 pounds of me at birth. I'm your biggest burden. You'll catch that later on. That's how my mother spelt relief, birth. The Lord give mercy. Those are my early days. But then I start growing. And then one day, the biggest day of my life, some of you guys walking on the edge, some of you slick chicks walking on the edge. You think a preacher don't know what's going on? We can look at you. We know body language. I had a notebook with about 200 names and numbers or anything you wanted. Except I wasn't a pervert. I was just a connector on the streets. I went across 3 Mile Bridge. The Lord said, get rid of that notebook. I threw 200 contacts from the world, chop shops, whatever you wanted. I tossed it over the bridge. Got rid of it. You know what's wrong with some of you Christians today? You're still holding on something from 30 years ago. And you won't let it go. You won't let it go. Look at verse number 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. Your home is going to be blessed because of you, Daddy. Your home is going to be blessed because of you, Mama. For he oft refreshed me. Watch what he did for him. For he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in him many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. Ephesus was the San Francisco of the day. Thou knowest very well. Now then over here to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Come on down about verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But he says over here, but watch thou on all things, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Watch it, endure afflictions, watch it, and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. I can't run your ministry, you can't run mine. But everybody has a ministry to serve. I fought a good fight. Verse 7, I fought a good fight. He didn't fight dirty. He fought a good fight. Amen. That's why I don't like to see preachers fighting each other, acting like a bunch of idiots, stuck on stupid, SOS. I leave them alone. I don't even want my people around them. Hey, man, won't you come to our meeting? I said, have y'all got the war zone going yet? You better thank God you got a pastor. Keep that junk out of here. Amen, amen, Brother Jack. Amen. He keeps it out of here. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and unto all them also that love his appearing. When last time you thought about Jesus coming back? Amen. Do you want Jesus to come back to get you out of your problems, or you want to come back because you want to see him?
Amen.
There's a different motive there.
Amen.
I'm going to preach to you in a second. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me. Watch this now. For Demas hath forsaken me. Now, you know what always bothered me, Pastor Ryman? This is a negative text, but he puts Titus in there. He puts these other three guys in there, and Titus with the same negative. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Dalmatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Maybe there should have been a second Titus. I don't know. But I'm talking this morning because I want to finish. You know, some battles you can't win.
That's right.
But you can finish. Amen. Father, pray you help me be a blessing to your people today. In Christ's name I pray, amen. I ask God to lead people across my path every day of my life. I got that reading John Wesley's journal 45 years ago. And he used to wake up every morning about 6 in the morning and get ready to go. And he would say this, Lord, what are my orders for today? And then he would say this, Lord, would you lead someone across my path that I may minister to? I'm talking, you want something for psycho? You want something to ease your mind? How about investing your life in other people?
Amen.
The most sad, broken person today is the one who does nothing for himself, for other people, but for themselves. I get guys in my program. I get girls in the program. I find out one thing. It's all about them. It's all about them. It's all about them. It's all about them. I said, won't you put your mind? That's why I take my guys and girls with Brother Job. That's why I take them on the streets and then show them the streets. They get back in the car or truck. I said, man, where do these people come from? Land of the free, home of the brave. That's the other side of the coin. Hello? And you got a preacher up there sometime preaching to you to stay away from that stuff. Hey, I want to finish. I'm going to give you these things real fast and we'll go to the house. Number one, Bible says he oft refreshed me. And Paul got there and he said, man, whoever this guy was, he was a refreshing person to be around. I like to be around refreshing people. Man, I'm on the phone fighting this battle and fighting this judge and fighting this DA and fighting this preacher. But somebody deal with the sinner coming down the aisle. That's right. Come on down. I'm just kidding. And all right, God bless you. Amen. All right. You a visitor? This is your first time here? Second time? You want to join the church? No, I'm just kidding. All right. Give the missions. And he off-refreshed me. He off-refreshed me. I'll get money off you somehow. And he off-refreshed me. And man, I tell you what, I want to get around, but I want to be known as a preacher who refreshes you, not depresses you, but refreshes you, encourages and encourages you, encourages you in the faith. That's what I like about over there. And David told him, he said, he got him over there by the wall. He said, when you get by that wall, he said, those that are fighting the battle, he says, encourage thou them. Encourage him. Encourage him. Man, I get a hold of Brother Ryman. How you doing? Man, I can't say nothing. He said, this is going on. This is going on. This is going on. Man, he's talking 90 miles an hour, talking about you, talking about his people. I never hear a bad word about him, about you. Amen. He never talks bad about you. You got to preach you that ain't sucking up, but man, you got to preach you to weather some storms. Yeah. He's got some battle scars. Yeah. And he's trying to get you to keep going and to finish the job. Well, that sure be rough. You puffed on a cigarette and a rapture took place. Yeah. And you end up in glory. I don't know. I heard this from Pete Ruckman, so I guess it's fallible. I got to say it, too. He said, man, what happened? You took a puff on a cigar and a rapture took place. And you're blowing smoke in glory. Bad doctrine, but good preaching. Hello. Amen. Why sweetly? Hey, he off refreshment. I don't like to be around people. I got to watch. Oh, good night. Here he comes. Here comes old mudslinger. I got to watch out. What's he got? I had a staff member. Wah, 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 wah. It can be a new car, and he'd still find something wrong with the car. Yeah. Well, it's a Ford. Well, it was given to us, but it's a Ford. Shut your face. Come on. Get a life. He off refreshed me. I like this one. He was not ashamed of my chain. Woo, man, you get a guy or girl out of jail, man, don't put them down where they were. Lift them up where they're going. Amen. By the way, when I get someone with a broken life, I never ask them about their life unless they want to tell me. You'd be surprised, all of you. I wouldn't ask you about, I would probably say half of you have been in jail. Okay, three quarters. Okay, I'll go there. How would you like to have Rahab living next to you, the harlot? But she's listed in the genealogies of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Rahab got rehab. She's been to RU, amen. Hey, I'm talking about finishing. I'm talking about finishing, 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 finishing. Wait a minute. Paul's got something for you. Paul's got something for you. And I like it. He gets a hold of this guy. He said, I want you to help this guy. His name is John Mark. Look over here at chapter 4, verse 11. Look at chapter 4, verse 11. Timothy. Now, I kicked him out of church. Show me that in the Bible. Ooh, getting quiet in here. I know what the verses say about it. When they get right, you're going to kick. If you believe in church discipline, kick them out. When they get right, you're going to kick them back in? Yeah. Only Luke is with me. Now, by the way, the word Luke means white. You know why doctors wear white uniforms? Maybe because of Luke. Only Luke is with me. Watch it. Take Mark. Woo! Him and Barnabas had a fight over him. They had a little church discipline going on. Take Mark. Watch it. And bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Sometime a guy goes back and quits, and you want to write him off. God don't write him off.
That's right. Amen.
God don't write him off. I saw Jack Howes do this many times. I don't like Brother Howes. I don't care if you don't like him. I like him. He says, this is my job as a pastor. He put a napkin like a servant. And he would say to the church sitting about 7,000 people, how can I help you today? How can I help you? On any given day in his line, Brother Ryman's been there. There'd be 150 people to see him after church on Sunday morning. He'd see every one of them. Maybe 20 seconds, maybe 2 minutes, but he would see those people. for you to love people. Learn to love people where they're at.
Amen.
Not where they're supposed to be. I just got done praying one day, and I asked, Lord, would you lead someone across my path? I want to help. I get going there. And I came into a truck stop one day, TA truck stop. And I had to go pick up some things on the trailer. And I still like going picking up stuff. I got a truck came in the other day from the Amish. I'm getting the brakes fixed on that. Some other Amish guy sent me a trailer. One of my other guys burnt my new trailer up with the mower in there and started up a generator. And I said, you don't start a generator in a closed area. Get it outside where you can breathe. Well, it blew up at the property. Had to call the fire department, about burnt my dorm down. And he said, well, Brother Patterson, are you mad at me? I said, I'll see you in a few days. Because I want to look at your face when I talk to you. And we had a little board meeting. I mean, I wasn't bored either. And but I didn't throw him on the bus, but I taught him some things. When people make a mistake, quit killing them. Help them so they don't do it again. Don't get rid of them. You need them. They're in the body of Christ. Man, we're killing our own for nothing. Man, help them.
Amen.
Well, I'm kicking that girl out of church. She got pregnant. Well, what did your granddaughter do? What did your niece do? Woo! Don't bow your head yet. Stinking suckers. If you're gonna go by that mentality, make sure you follow all the way through.
Yeah.
Had a guy do that and kicked out one of my guys, but he wouldn't kick out his granddaughter. She got what you, and neither should they create. The church, me folks, the church is a hospital, not a museum. The church is where the sick people come and get healed. You'll believe in this when something happens to YOLO. I may be dead in heaven, but Brother Jack used to say, the church is a hospital. We got to get her fixed. Maybe she got in trouble because Daddy wasn't around. Maybe she got in trouble because Mama wasn't around. Maybe she got in trouble because you left her in the room by herself, got surfing the web, and some punky boy made over, and you never did.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah. Oh.
Man, I'll get my nieces and nephews, and I'm raising a third and fourth generation. I told one of the other, man, Uncle Jack's just about broke. Man, every time I come see you guys, 50 here, need here, I said, I'm going to get you, bo, 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 get a job. I'm going to get you guys a job.
Yeah.
I got them job at car washes, making money. How much you made? I made $500. Give me $500. Take me the lot. Oh, no, I'm broke. I've got to teach this generation how to work. It's a lazy generation. It's a selfish generation. It's a busy generation doing nothing.
Yeah.
They're doing nothing. And man, you got 20, 30 miles in minds in your church and in your Sunday school class. Man, teach them something.
Yeah.
One time I was, I'll tell you about that gas station in a second. I was went to Hammond from my brother Olaf, and I made a little mistake. I stayed in Hammond way too long. But anyway, they gave me a Sunday school class. There was two guys in there. So, Brother Patterson, we want you to teach these two guys here, and we're going to give you the Sunday school class. I said, okay. I said, this all you have is two? I rolled up my sleeve, went in the Bible, started talking to you about the Lord. Many are frozen and few are chosen. And I took those two boys. I went soul winning them up in Chicago. I said, next week, I want you to bring one. And I said, I want to double this thing up. If I'm lying, may God kill this guy in the front row right here. In about a month and a half, I had about 15 kids coming to Sunday school. I doubled that to about 30. I doubled that to about 60. And they brought me in. I said, Brother Patterson, what are you doing? I'm just reproducing myself in the lives of other people. Do you want to come on staff? No, I like making money. And I was making armored tanks and doing things. I got a bus route. I filled that back up. And it got going. Why? I'm not a lazy preacher. I want to get something done. Why? Hey, the world's going to hell. Hey, if you're going to have a Sunday school class, work it. Work it. Work it. Moody used to pull people out of the underneath the bed, and he can't do it now. They'll probably put you in prison. But Moody used to pull people from under the bed and under the dresser. Come on, you're going to Sunday school.
Yeah.
You know why I'm laying my fork down? Lost about 60 pounds. I want another 100 pounds off. Hey, you want to look good? Hey, you worry about that. I don't want to be in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I don't want to carry a bedpan with me. Sometimes when I start eating bad food, I walk to a nursing home on purpose. Don't look the way I look, then change it.
Yes.
Well, I can. Well, just close your mouth. Hey, I like chocolate. I mean, chocolate's in the Bible all over there somewhere. I hadn't found it yet, but I know it's in there. I like sugar. I like donuts. But I don't like my blood pressure going to 300, 350, 400. Boo. You see things with me, and you talk and you say things differently. If you eat right. Then I'm on celery, sucking down peanut butters. I cannot believe I'm going to, what is it, Panera Bread? I mean, that's where a lot of those guys hang out at. I didn't say the word. Body language. I go in there and there's a bunch of them in there. Hi, one guy, who, you're a big boy. I said, yeah, you a little guy too, ain't you? I'll change your life, kid. I'll do 90 days on your head. What are you in here for? I helped a young man become a man. But man, I'm liking salads now. I'm liking salads with chicken, with that poppy seed on there. And then they tell me they're going to cut it off in September. No, man, keep it on now. The first time I've stood up and preached in about 3 months. And it ain't nothing about me. My wife said, Jack, you better lose weight. You better lose. Now, my wife said, lose weight. You better lose weight. She's from Kentucky, and she got attitude. She got eyes like Superman. She can smell food on me. Aha! Uh-huh. I know what you've been eating. I smell that pepperoni. I only took one bite of each slice. Now, you know I'm losing weight? I'm trying to for my next generation. For my next 20, 25 people coming in. Amen. You know, if I can't tell them to lay down a crack pipe and I don't lay down a fork, about 5 of you are mad at me right now because I'm on this subject. But he won't have to bury you. Nope. I sure hate to die and say, well, old Brother Jack, I wish you left that fork down. And one guy said, I'm going to die with a fork in my coffin. I said, you look like an idiot. Yeah. I'm trying to tell you, folks, I want to finish this race. But I can't finish it. It's going to be hard to finish it in a wheelchair or with my legs off. Or I'll be blind Bartimaeus Patterson. Hey, I might be over here blind Craig O'Jack. Now, his was at birth. Mine would be a choice. The doctor already told me, if you don't lose weight, it's going to mess your eyes up. Jesse can drive blind. I know that. I've saw him driving a bus. I wasn't on the bus. That's called faith. Amen, Brother Jesse? He's in a land of nod. Oh, there you go. He's about ready to cross over Jordan right there. Amen. I'm out down the wheels of down. I'm circling the field. Don't raise your hand. Don't say nothing. There's probably some in here today wanting to quit. Wanting to give up. Over the stupidest little things. If I fall down, I'm going to get right up because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Two illustrations and I'm done. All 40, 45 years ago, we're fishing at the Intercoastal. Some guys came in. Oh, don't worry. Don't get too comfortable. I'll open my Bible back up. Okay, some of y'all are about ready to get your pillow out there, you know. Catch the TV clicker. I got you on radar. And one night, Brother Steve, there's about four fishermen come up through our dock, and they broke down. I smelled whiskey on their breath, you know. I said, hey, I'll help you. I was about maybe 22, 23. I said, look, we got a nice barge. I slept about 60 guys on it. We had about 90 on it. But I always kept the guest room open on that barge. We're 50 miles down the intercoastal on one of them islands down there to catch it. On a bad night, we caught about 600 pounds of trout on a bad night. We caught 1,000 pieces of shrimp per day. And Roloff wouldn't let you eat it. So we were selling shrimp down there. He didn't know about that. He said, boy, you making money down here? I said, yes, sir. I got it right in that drawer, about $3,000 cash, no checks. You want to give a guy a check down the intercoastal, you're 3 hours from civilization, you're nuts. The check bounced. Were you going to go all the way back to Dallas to get it, 600 miles away? No, I said cash only. And we weren't allowed to eat shrimp. But I think a few of them fell in the skillet. I can't remember, Your Honor, but I think some of them fell in there. I have no recollection, Your Honor. We took these guys in there, you know, and I rewarded these guys. We all got new jumpsuits, high-top Converse. We got rid of all the PF Flyers and Jets, you know, and we got some Chuck Taylors down there. That was my first ministry. I learned a lot. But I had a boy drown on me. Had three boys in Michigan, set the dorm on fire. Burnt that dorm down. What'd you do? I just finished PBI. I got trained by one of the greatest, probably sergeant of this last generation, Lieutenant Colonel Pete Ruckman. He put some blood in me. He put some oomph in me. Different people get on there and pick up certain things. I picked up Don't Quit by him. Help these guys. 30 years later, I get a phone call. Hey, Brother Patterson, you remember me? I said, well, who are you? CIA, FBI, I don't know, who are you? I've been called by all of them. And he said, no, you remember me one night I broke down like I'm supposed to remember you, look at my face. Long story short, this guy was one of the four guys that broke down. He said, I was a Christian, was with those other guys, and you had chapel that night, and you preached to those guys. He said, those guys would be up there talking about it. Oh, that guy got in my face and so forth. But you fed them. You had a gourmet chef there from New York, and you made sure we got the meals brought to our rooms. Oh, man, I know how to class. I got class. And he said, what bothers me all these years, I've been out of church, and what I saw that night is I want to get back in church, but my daughter's messed up. Would you help her? I said, I don't have a women's home, but I'll help her. He said, what are you going to do? I said, you let me take care of that. Call me back in about 2 days. There was a family seminar about 2 hours from the ranch. I took all the guys, and I said, you fly that girl out here. I got a Nazarene lady down the road, and she comes and teaches the Bible. Well, she ain't Baptist, but she's in the body of Christ. Yeah. I used her. Got her in there. I wish I could find some Baptist women. Yeah. You always criticize stuff you don't want to do. Yeah. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, you heard something. You're crazy for repeating things you heard, not what you know.
Yep.
That Bible says the simple believeth every word. Watch out for people throwing mud in a teaspoon. They got a bucket of mud in their backyard they don't want you to know about. That girl came in there and got right with the Lord. Stayed about 2 months with us. Dad flew her back home. She's married to a preacher today in New York. She's married to a preacher today. I was heading out to get no straps, going down the road. I'm talking about finishing. And I pulled into a truck stop of America. I walked inside and I said, young man, I'm looking for some straps. I just got this trailer. I got to strap down some equipment. I'm taking back to Alabama. He said, you're a preacher? I said, well, yeah. He said, you look like a preacher. I put out my cigarette real fast, you know, and something. No, I'm just kidding. Brother Ryman was with me. He had it. And so this guy comes out in the bucket and I start laughing. He said, what are you laughing at? I said, stand right there. I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Said, you got 17 pieces of jewelry on your face. I said, what are you, a tackle box? Well, this is just me. I said, oh, you come out of your mother's womb wanting jewelry on your face. Come on. Well, you know, he said, I'm a pastor's son. I'm an Absalom. I said, okay, am I supposed to scare me or something? I deal with Absaloms every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, I'm in deep sin. Well, I mean, let's clean it up and move on. I said, where's your dad at? I ain't called him in 2 years. I pulled out my phone, Justin, and called his dad. Tackle box says, what are you doing? Tinkle, 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 tinkle. You know, the jewelry was talking to him. Man, if I'd have took the tackle box, I got some money for missions right there, man. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm calling your dad. For what? You think I'm going to call you with 17 pieces of jewelry on his face and believe you over him? As they say on the streets, is you crazy? That's Hamitic speech. I got his dad on the phone. I said, hey, this is Jack Patterson. Hey, Jack, do I know you? He said, well, I have your son. And he started yelling, you got my son? My son is right here by you? I said, yeah, he's got jewelry on his face. And yeah, he's into that stuff. He said, can I talk to my son? I don't know where he's been. I put him on a speakerphone. It was getting juicy. I wanted to hear it. I ain't sneaking around nothing. I wanted to hear it. And he's slobbering on daddy, and daddy's slobbering on him. I like it. And, okay, Dad, I'm working over here at the truck stop, and you're going to come. And he didn't say one bad word to his boy. He said, son, will you come home? Will you come home, son? I said, yeah, Dad, I will. I've been wanting to call you. Man, I tell you, man, I was about 420. I would have took a lap in a second, but I couldn't. I would just had to stand there and bounce, you know. And I pulled off, I came back in again. I said, man, I had to got my son. I didn't want to see Tackle Face again. I just helped him. And I went back in there, and this is what the kid said. This is for not writing people off. For some of you Pharisees, you hide everything, but there's this public. You hide yours. Some of your sins are outer. Some of them are inner. I walked back in there. He said, "Hey, preacher, what are you doing back in here?" He called me preacher. I didn't tell him that. I didn't say, "You got to call me the man of God. You got to call me pastor." He said, "Hey, preacher, what are you doing in here?" I said, I got to get something else. He said, "Hey, you're my pastor. You go out to your truck. I'm taking care of you." I said, "God gave me these guys every truck stop I go to. Please, Lord, please. Send them to me." But that ain't the case. What are you saying? Hey, when you guys find John Mark, would you bring him back?
Yeah.
I made a mistake. I overkilled him as a young Christian. I overkilled him. That's what he was saying. "For now he's profitable to me for the ministry." I know they're getting to be knuckleheads. I know you're getting to be knuckleheads. We all get to be knuckleheads, but you come out of it sometimes. That's why he's Matthew, Mark, the second book of the Bible. The second book of the Bible. Because he didn't call you man of God. He didn't call you Mr. Slick Britches or Silk Underwear, wherever you want to be called. Yeah, you heard what I said. I got people coming to my ranch all the time. "Hey, Brother Jack, I want these people to come to my church." I said, "No, you go get your own wooden Indians. These are mine. Go get your own." I sent them straight to Bible school. I want them to get messed up. I got girls used to be hookers on the mission field. I'll never tell you who they are. They were hookers. I got them in. We cleaned them up. They're on the mission field. They married with kids. Begging me to come preach. I said, "I don't have time." They said, "We'll never forget." I said, "Oh, but I'll never forget." A lot of times I want to quit and think about killing some people in Jesus' name. I think about my sore spots. I think about old Ron Robinson, mainline heroin addict. They're all around, they're all in this area. Just think if one of you, just two or three of us come alive for God. 3, 4, 5, 10. Just come alive and be advent soul winners wherever you go. I didn't get my soul winning from Jack Hiles. I got it from Pete Ruckman.
Amen.
I didn't get it from the old man. I got it from Brother Pete, Brother Ruckman. Where'd you learn how to feed people on the street at? Dr. Ruckman one night. "Hey, Patterson, where you at, man? Where you at, man? You're going to go with me tonight, man." I said, "Where are we going? None of your business. Just get ready to go." After school, hop in this old nasty Jeep with stinking fish, nasty fish guts on this. Oh, my goodness, man. Stinky old and that stupid dog Fritz barking your face. And that's why I got a Dachshund, man. I want a dog. And he got those killers out there with the dogs he's got, man. Tried to kill my dog last time. I'm glad Peanut got he got to bit that one sucker. And but they would have bit him. He'd have been Vienna sausage. And but you know what I did the next day at school? I got back. I see he's under conviction. That's what it is. Look at it. Dr. Ruckman walked out of his house, and me and Mike and Pete were out there cleaning out the Jeep. But come on, man, we got to clean your dad's Jeep. I was only 18. Nobody told me to do that. And Dr. Ruckman looking at me, said, "Man, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm cleaning out your nasty Jeep. Fish heads from about 5 years ago are in there. Maggots in the back. I ain't lying. I can't make this stuff up." He kept looking through the window what I was doing in the Jeep, you know. I said, "We didn't find no dope." He looked at me and says, who told you to come over and clean my Jeep? I mean, for 2 weeks he asked me. I said, "Brother Pete, I just want to come clean your Jeep. I want to be a blessing to you. You're teaching me the Bible." He said, "Boy, you're going places. You're not afraid to get your hands dirty. You afraid to get your hands dirty around the church? When the last time you walked up to your pastor and said, 'Pastor Ryman, can I do something around here for you?' And you be quiet and let him talk to you. 'Miss Linda, can I do something for you here at the church or at the house?' Now she won't give you a list. She'll give you a book. 'Yeah, I need this fixed, this fixed, this fixed, this fixed. I'm busy here.' And I said, 'No. I don't want to get anybody out.' I said, 'What? Can I be a blessing to you? Can I be a blessing to you? Can I be a blessing to the preacher's kids? Lord, would you grant mercy into the household of Onesiphorus?'" And here's the last point. You know what Onesimus means? Profit bringer. Hang around people that bring you profit. Bring you profit. Teach you Bible. teach you how to do things. I told you tonight, mine eye affects my heart. I keep these eyes open. I watch you. I watch the streets. I find the roughest name. The other day I got scared. I really did get scared. I had Smitty in my back right pocket. He's 38 years old and he's holy. How many know what I'm talking about? He's hollow point. He's hollow, man. He's hollow. And I had about 7 black guys out there that come trying to me. I said, man, you got a nice car. I said, hey, man. And they think I'm from Georgia. Y'all Georgia? I said, no, I'm from South. I'm from the South. From Southwest Detroit. I mean, you from Motown, man? You from Motown? Man, they backed up by 4 feet. Man, don't get around that dude, man. I bet you packing. I said, I ain't telling, but you're going to feel it. You mess with me. I preached to him. Then what I did, somebody always gives me these cards, these McDonald's cards, Wendy's cards. Or I tell the church to give them to me. I'll pass them out for you. I said, I'll take you on the streets. You're not even there, but it'll be up there. I had a little box one day. I had about 250, I had 25 of them. I passed them out to some gang members up in Chicago. They start mouthing off to me. I said, hey, you over here with a guy named Magic? I said, yeah, I know Magic. I said, where is he? Well, he's around here doing, he just got out of prison. I said, do you still have that scar on the right face, on the left side of his face, about 7 inches long? He said, yeah, how do you know about that scar on his face? I said, I sewed it up. I put a Band-Aid butterfly in when I worked at Pacific Garden Mission. Some gang's trying to kill him one night. He said, next time you see him, tell him you see him, Big Jack. Those guys backed up, man. They thought I was the king of kings. They had respect for you. See, sometimes you don't get all your dividends in the next day. Sometimes you put your little ships out 20, 30 years ago, they'll catch you up on the other end. He's got a lot of his little ships coming in, too. We're going to stand. I just want to give you a question to think about. There's some John Marks out here who needs you. There's some John Marks needs you. That was with Samson. Your spiritual Samson. Josh. That was with Josh. I shouldn't say this. I still remember Josh wearing white pants. That was foul. Had white belt. He's coming into a young man of God. Got a bossy wife, that's why. And was with Jesse Craigle, him and Samson. We went to get a submarine. And some prostitutes start yelling at us. Am I right, Jesse? Hey, fat man, whatever. I think that's what she said. And she started yelling at us and so forth and told us she's selling her body. I said, man, we come here and get a soap. We ain't buying you. Come here. We tell you how to come to church. Come to first brother. And she wouldn't let up. She comes in the store and she said, you guys are preachers and you won't even help me. And I said, Jesse, she's your convert. You talk to her, Big Jack. I think she liked Jesse's bald head. I don't know what it was. No, rub mine. And I sat there and I said, wait a minute. Then she said, what she said, would you promise me, she gave us her address, when you come back in here, would you bring some people by my church, by my house and talk to me? I need some help in my life. End up next week, she went to prison. We went by the house to talk to her. They're right in your area, right here. They're right in here. Rescue the perishing. Hey, you sang about a song. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. That was Billy Newell. At 15, he come out of jail, and he came under R.A. Torrey in Chicago. R.A. Torrey taught him Bible for 2 years. He said, Billy, I'm done teaching you Bible now. I'm going to let you go. You can go to the Bible college here at the college. But, Billy, you have a way of writing words. Why don't you put your music to words, your words to music? And he wrote at Calvary. The first song he wrote. What's your problem today? There's people dying and going to hell out there. And you got the answer. See, your problem's on the outside. The problem's on the inside. Your insecurities, you're mad, you're angry. You didn't get what you want through life. Well, welcome to Adamic nature. The message today, there's some John Marks out there. Go get them. There's some Rahabs out there. Go get them. And when you see a Rahab come in there, well, you're a farmer. Don't ask them. Maybe we ought to ask questions about you. Don't ask them. Make it a hospital, not a morgue.
Amen.
Make it a hospital. Some of you ladies, you got dresses you're not wearing. You can't get into them. Give them to her. Hey, she needs to get a new dress. Well, why don't you go shut up and shut your mouth up and go say, look, let me go get you. Hey, I got these. Would you like these? Just give them to her. Guy comes in here, hair down to his back, tattooed up to his ankles. Don't say nothing. That boy I saw, with that he had tattoos on his ears. And one coming into his nose, I said, man, you guys are sick, man. I didn't say a word about it. I made fun of his jewelry. I didn't make fun of his tattoos. And such were some of you. Just a little reset button. Last time I'm preaching today. If I died today, I gave you this thought. Go read some John Marks. For they are profitable to me for the ministry. Some of you up here today, you know some John Marks. Won't you bring them John Marks to name to God today on this old-fashioned altar? Some of you have loved ones just passed on, and your dad and your mom has passed on. Why don't you come and tell God, say, God, I ain't quitting no matter what happens. When the last time he heard from you? Father, I pray that you'll bless the invitation today. God, I pray someone's here today that's not saved, that they'll trust Christ as their Savior.